People in Wisconsin and around the world are in the midst of observing Dry January, a popular trend of giving up alcohol for the first month of the new year. And bars and restaurants around the state want to make sure their customers still have something special to drink that isn't just club soda. So enter the world of non-alcoholic beers, wines, and cocktails. The market for these drinks, often called NA, zero proof, or spirit-free, has been steadily growing over the past decade. And few people are more committed to NA mixology than Ryan Castellaz, who co-founded the bar Agency in Milwaukee in 2024. It's a cocktail lounge where any of the drinks can be made with or without alcohol, and it was nominated last year for a James Beard Award for Best New Bar. He talked with Rob Ferret.
I want to hear some of the origin story for Agency, especially the idea that, hey, the non-spirit cocktails get equal billing with the ones with alcohol in them. What led up to that for you?
Yes, sir. So like most beautiful things in the world, you know, Agency was kind of born as a product of necessity. We originally had a coffee shop, which we still have in Milwaukee, called Discourse, and it had a location in Crossroads Collective. And Crossroads Collective was designed to be an incubator for new ideas and new concepts. And so we ideated the only concept that we could do in this space, which I can't cook, and Crossroads already had an alcoholic cocktail bar. We ideated a totally non-alcoholic cocktail bar called The Counter. And in doing The Counter, we learned a lot. One, we learned that we are deeply passionate about the NA segment, and we're deeply passionate about returning Agency to the modern drinker. And the second thing we learned is that a fully non-alcoholic cocktail bar, at least in the state of Wisconsin in 2024, was not a sustainable venture. And so we went back to the drawing board to decide, how do we do this? How do we achieve the mission of serving those who have decided to remove themselves from the indulgence in alcohol, whether it be for a night, a week, a month, a lifetime? But how do we serve this audience while also creating a sustainable business? And what we came to was this idea of the hybrid cocktail lounge. And the thesis of the hybrid cocktail lounge is that the agency, the full choice of the experience, lies in the hands of the drinker. And so at Agency, each one of our cocktails is available alcoholic and non-alcoholic. And in a world where purveyors were being extremely loud about the fact that they were NA, we were taking the opposite approach. We were being very soft. We were trying to add nuance and subtlety to the process of deciding to make an NA decision. And so each and every cocktail on our menu is available both ways. And you signal to the server which cocktail you would like, the alcoholic or the non-alcoholic, through the use of a two-sided coaster. The black side is alcoholic and the gold side is non-alcoholic. And in doing this, we created what is truly one of the first in the country to provide a fully hybrid experience where every guest is able to have the exact same lived experience in our lounge, just without the presence of ethanol.
Now, you mentioned that the demand wasn't there for just non-alcoholic cocktails. How much interest is there, though, now that you've got this hybrid operation, how much are people in the non-alcoholic versions of the drinks you provide?
I'd say our current business is around 20% non-alcoholic. But this is really a scaling market space. We've seen market growth since we opened in our new space in September of 2024. It's been really, 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 really cool to see the trajectory, you know, kind of curve upwards. And while our percentage is about 20% right now, we're seeing market growth in the non-alcoholic industry. And when you look at sales figures over the next, you know, 3 to 5 years, this last year, alcohol shaved about $8 billion in market value. And as we look over the next 3 to 5 years, we're looking at an almost 10x reduction in predicted alcohol consumption. The generation beyond mine, I'm a millennial, you know, the generation beyond mine is drinking much less. And the generation beyond theirs, even less so. So within 10 to 15 years, I predict a 50-50 or even greater skew of alcoholic versus non-alcoholic versus alcoholic drinkers.
Well, talking to our listeners over the years, Ryan, a very common problem I hear is from that person who doesn't want to drink ever or tonight, but so many social experiences rotate around drinking and not having, you know, you don't want to be the one, as you mentioned, sitting there drinking a glass of water while everybody else has these cool looking cocktails. Do you get the sense
or
that you have kind
milk,
of
the classic?
Oh, God. Yeah. Do you have like mixed parties like that? Do you think where that one person who might not have felt like they were fitting in now has that option?
the majority is mixed party. We will absolutely get people who come in, you know, who everybody in the party is non-alcoholic. But that is not the majority. The majority is, you know, we have a group of four people and say one person usually drinks, right? But they're pregnant. Or they're doing dry January, or they have a certain religious practice that prohibits them from the consumption of alcohol, but they want to go out there with their friends who don't share that same religious practice, right? So that is actually a kind of the core demographic that we see in the bar, is people who, for one reason or another, have had to refrain from the consumption of alcohol. And there are 100% also people who have just made the choice to pursue sobriety. That is becoming a much more popular choice. And as that becomes a more popular choice, we're seeing a greater influx of guests who have made that decision. But many of our guests who are exercising this option are guests who maybe normally would have drank, but for some extenuating circumstance cannot.
What goes into designing drinks, right, that are, you know, unique kind of signature cocktails in the first place, but also work as non-alcoholic? It sounds like a challenge to me.
It is. It is a challenge. You know, if it wasn't a challenge, I think more people would do it more frequently. You know, and really what it is this. When a lot of people start, right, I think there is an understanding or a hope, you know, a feeling that it may just be okay. If I'm making a margarita and I have 2 ounces of my tequila, I'm just going to replace it with 2 ounces of non-alcoholic tequila. And while the industry is making amazing strides in terms of capacity and capability from alcohol to non-alcoholic analogs like tequila, gin, whiskey, we aren't there yet. There's a lot of organoleptic characteristics of ethanol that are quite hard to emulate. Things like mouthfeel, piquancy, dryness, burn. But all of these are things that ethanol adds to the cocktail experience that in great non-alcoholic cocktail making have to be recreated. And so for us, you know, our processes will usually start as close to an analog as we can. And then from there, we identify the missing pieces, right? If we do an analog 2 ounces tequila, 2 ounces non-alcoholic tequila, and we taste, well, that non-alcoholic spirit is probably preserved with a little bit of citric acid. And so there is a higher acidity in that non-alcoholic cocktail than there is in the alcoholic substitute. And so we might drop our overall acidity down or raise our sweetness just a little bit. We might add a little bit more acid based on how that spirit is presenting in the cocktail, right? So the first thing is we're balancing profile. That's probably the easiest to balance and to match. The second is to balance some of the more ethereal elements of the cocktail experience. And those include things like mouthfeel. How rich does it feel on the tongue, or how thin and how silky? And we use things like sushi rice, water dilution to kind of recreate the mouthfeel of an alcoholic cocktail. Piquancy, you know, so that little tartness, that little bite that you get from alcohol that we can recreate using things like gingerol, capsaicin, vinegar. And then, of course, linger. So the lasting effect of alcohol, that ethanol really carries things on our palate far past the last moment of sipping. And so for that, we can use things that extend the palate or that dive into the far palate, things like Sichuan, tartaric acid, wine tannin, ingredients that really extend the length and effect of the sip. So it's kind of a multi-step process, you know, and the first is mirroring the profile, but the second is mirroring all of the other ethereal capacities that ethanol brings to a traditional alcoholic cocktail.
We're talking about Dry January and the art of making non-alcoholic cocktails with Ryan Castellez with Agency, a hybrid cocktail lounge in Milwaukee. I'm going to ask for some advice in a bit. But before I do that, a couple of things I wanted to ask about. One, do you get people maybe in the same visit having an alcohol drink for round one and being like, I'm good, but I want more yummy stuff, having the non-alcoholic drink for round two?
We do, though I will say less than I would like. You know, I think we are still kind of in a culture, for whatever it's worth, right, that those who can consume alcohol and those who make the choice to consume alcohol still have a little bit of a stigma against the consumption of non-alcoholic cocktails. And I think a big part of that is the incredible amount of mid non-alcoholic cocktails on the market, right? So they've had some sort of experience with a non-alcoholic cocktail in the past that has not lived up to expectation, that has felt like a misuse of funds. And so they are unlikely to give it a try, even in a place that specializes in it. So I think right now we are in a state where people need to have and gather a bank of more positive experiences with the NA space for them to switch over to NA after the consumption of alcohol. Now, we do have the occasional guest who does make that switch, but it isn't as frequent as I would like. And it's something that we are working towards every day, trying to figure out ways to better communicate what we do in hopes that we can get more conversion clients who are making that switch, having that second drink, and realizing that it's every bit as good and honestly, sometimes, my friend, better than its alcoholic counterpart.
And you also, you telegraphed my next question. You used the word stigma, and I think people feel weird. I'm at a bar, but I'm getting something non-alcoholic, and maybe people are a little judgy. You're at a bar, and you're getting something non-alcoholic. Part of your mission, it seems to me, is, hey, we're here, we're socializing, we have beverages.
100%. One of the most interesting things that I've ever heard from a drink maker was a drink maker out of Minneapolis, and he was being interviewed for Imbibe, and the interviewer asked him, what's the weirdest thing you've ever made? And his response was, well, I mix poison every day, so I guess that's pretty weird. and this is a famous bartender, right? Alcohol, literally at its core, is a poison to our bodies. Well, I drink, I'm not saying I'm above it, but it is, you know, a thing that is not wonderful, right? So the fact that we've created, you know, an entire world based around this thing is the product of incredible marketing for, you know, 100 years. And so for us, the cocktail lounge is a drinking space, right? And it's a celebration of fine drinking. And that extends into the alcoholic space, that extends beyond the alcoholic space. It extends to every concoction that we can put into a glass that we think you will love and enjoy. And so a huge part of what we do, right, is to fight against words like the word mocktail. Mocktail is my least favorite word in the English language. Nobody wants to have a mocktail. Nobody feels cool saying that, feeling that, doing that, right? And so for us, it's very important that we begin to adapt language like non-alcoholic cocktails, spirit-free cocktails, elixirs, right? Whatever you want to call it, anything but a mocktail, because I do not know a single person who feels cool when the word mocktail leaves their mouth. And a huge part of this segment is legitimizing the space. But a huge part of this push, this mission, this vision is how do we get non-alcoholic cocktails to have a similar foothold to alcoholic cocktails? How do we put them in the same place so that when you're celebrating something, it feels every bit as natural to grab that NA champagne as it does to grab the alcoholic champagne? That we can make more conscious decisions about the role and place of alcohol in our lives. But, and there is definitely a time and a place for alcohol, but it is not all the time, you know, and we have been led to believe that it is all the time, that anytime there is something that needs to be celebrated, anytime there is something that needs to be mourned, but alcohol is the thing that we turn to. And this is truly just the product of some of the greatest marketing in human history. And our whole posit is that non-alcoholic has every bit as much to offer as its alcoholic counterparts, and with the added benefit of you don't wake up with a hangover the next day, so you can continue to celebrate on day two.
I wanted to get some practical advice. My home bartending is hybrid. Sometimes I want to drink with alcohol. Sometimes I don't. And it's sometimes challenging for me to make that non-alcoholic one, and I do call it a mocktail at home. I'm okay with it, as good as the other one. Do you have a quick bit of advice for a home experimenter like me? And don't worry, you won't see my resume. You wouldn't hire me as your bartender then.
We have amazing drink makers at the bar. We're incredibly, incredibly fortunate. There's a lot of, you know, I recommend every home drink maker, especially in the non-alcoholic space, start with a non-alcoholic margarita. And this is why. Non-alcoholic tequilas are one of the most photorealistic. So by and large, non-alcoholic tequilas are some of the spirits that do the best job of conveying their alcoholic counterparts. Two is that most NA spirits, many, many, many on the market, and now we're getting a touch more sophisticated with modern technologies and new methodologies, but most NA spirits will use capsaicin as a way to replicate the burn of ethanol. This is a bad analog, but it's what many people have turned to. And so you get a little bit of spice, a little bit of burn, that kind of feeling of having a hot pepper when you use some of these non-alcoholic substitutes. And this plays very well with the profile of a margarita. It is also quite a simple cocktail to build, right? So I like using Dose. It's a non-alcoholic orange liqueur as my orange liqueur. Ritual Tequila, which can be found just about anywhere, is an excellent tequila for this use case. And you can build an excellent little non-alcoholic margarita at home. From there, you can start to experiment and explore your preferences, right? So you may make your non-alcoholic margarita at a 2 ounces non-alcoholic tequila, 1/2 ounce non-alcoholic Dose, 1/2 ounce agave, 1 ounce lime, and a pinch of salt. But that's a great build for us. But you may make that and say, drink's a little bit sweet, right? So you can drop your agave by 1/4 ounce, or you can drop your Dose by 1/4 ounce. And you can start to very, very simply in this category, explore and play around with balance, right? How does NA affect the balance of the drink? And what balance do you enjoy? So the margarita is an amazing place to start to have an understanding of your preferences, of your profile, of the way that you like to manipulate non-alcoholic ingredients.
Ryan, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Thanks so much for having me on the show.
And that is Ryan Castellaz, founder and service partner of Agency, a hybrid cocktail lounge in Milwaukee. Spoke with Rob Ferret about the art of making non-alcoholic cocktails and the growing market for NA beverages in Wisconsin.